Hey y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Be Still and Run. I am your host, Allie Yan, and if you are new, thank you so much for tuning in. And this is a place where I, this year, have been just sharing each month on a certain topic. And next year, since there's only 2 months left, I have been thinking about next year. And next year, I'm thinking more of content based on just kind of spur of the moment, what the Lord lays on my heart, what He has been working on in my own life. So the content may not be as scheduled or may not be once a week. We'll see how that works. But this year, I will have two more topics. So this month, we are focused on our thoughts. Next month, we are focused on, I can't point out right now what it is, but the last month in December, I'll be going over why knowing our why is so important. And that is, I believe, going to be one of my most favorite ones because it has been ingrained in me so much. But anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. And today we are talking about how to analyze your thoughts, why it's so important. And I give a little testimony based on how God has shown me why this is important. And then I give a list of different ways you can analyze your own thoughts. And then I will, in the coming weeks, tell you what to do with that. So hope you enjoy. So last week I shared a little bit about how controlling our thoughts can be a way to gain a better motivation that actually lasts. And I've mentioned that before in previous podcasts, but just recently, as I go through different circumstances in my life, different trials that the Lord is leading me through, with our family being kicked out of our house, it was a rental, and then now we're living in a camper. Looking for a place, and the bank is so picky. It's like everything we bring to them, they're like, no, sorry, I can't do that. And then just with fall coming up, it's kind of starting to become a reality that, hey, we need to really start praying more fervently for a house because you can't live in a camper in the winter. So there's just a bunch of different things in my life that's been going on that God has really been ingraining the fact of how important it is as a Christian to really control our thoughts and really make sure that what we're dwelling on is giving us life. And so today's title is The Beginning of a New Life, and I want to share a little bit about how you can analyze your thoughts. So I believe this is based off of a sheet, or like not a sheet, but like a principle behind the Why Not Run workshop, which is not out yet, but I am planning to, Lord willing, eventually bring that out. But the Why Not Run workshop is kind of based off of what is holding you back, what thoughts are going through your mind, what beliefs, what lies, what obstacles are in your way that is keeping you from being the person that God created you to be, the abundant life that He really wanted us to live in. Like 80% of a runner's battle is said to be in the mind. Some people say it's more, some people say it's less. I think it probably depends on how athletic you naturally are. But typically, it's around 80% of how much effort and how much energy and everything we as runners are able to focus on. I did not say that in a way that probably was made any sense, because it didn't to me. So like 80% of a runner's battle, people say, is in the mind, because a lot of the times our body will give up before. Oh my goodness, guys, I'm so sorry. Our mind gives up before our body does. Sorry. Okay. So most of the time when we start to feel fatigued, All we need is to focus our thoughts on something else, on our goal, on why we're doing this. And it somehow brings energy that we didn't know we had. Like an example would be during my last race, it was a 10K on trails. And my training was not really that great leading up to it. But I had just like 6 months prior ran 13 miles on the same trails. So I figured I had kept up training, but it wasn't as great as it could have been. And I figured I would do okay. So, like, I'm gonna say with about a mile left, I was just so fatigued. I was so tired. But my body, it didn't feel like it was ready to give up. There was just like this hint of fatigue in my legs, but it wasn't like the kind where I knew I didn't have anything left. And so I knew at that point my mind was giving up on me. So I tried meditating on scriptures. As you guys probably have already found out, Hebrews 12:3 is one of my go-to. I just love doing that, especially after the one time in one of my halves that I just got a very, very small glimpse of what Christ did for us, just in the fatigue that I was in, and just picturing what Jesus went through. That just has become one of my most favorite verses to meditate on when the going gets hard. And I forget where I was going with that. Oh, so during that 10K with a mile left, I was just trying to meditate on this verse. And all of a sudden, as I was just praying for more strength, there is this big long bed of roots. And there was hardly any space in between these roots. It was literally like all roots. You barely had any room, it seemed like, to run unless it was actually on the roots itself. And I remember I tripped and I tried to save myself from falling for a very long space. And when I did finally fall, I thank God that my knee went in between two roots. Otherwise, I can't imagine how bad I could have hit my knee because there's a big gouge below my knee and then scratches above it. So I was very grateful that I did not actually land my knee on a root. But when I got up from that fall, I had so much adrenaline that had just shot through my body. I was not fatigued at all. Like, literally, guys, I had so much energy. I went flying to the finish line, and everybody's like, "Wow, you look great. You look like it was awesome." And I'm like, "Yeah, a mile earlier, I was about to give up and call the director and say, 'Hey, can you come get me?'" So that was just a really, really clear glimpse to me to realize that our mind really gives up before our body does. And a lot of times our mind can just sap the energy from our lives so quickly. And so, one of the things I had mentioned last time is how Jesus had focused on the joy of what he was about to do, what the finished product was before he went to the cross. That's how he was able to endure what was going on, as he was focused on what that was going to accomplish. And a lot of times we seem to blame our feelings on how we act. And even though that is true, we seem to also forget that our feelings have to come from somewhere too. So first we have a thought, then we have a feeling, then we act off of that feeling, and it's a continual cycle that lasts our entire life. So the next time you have a feeling, I want you to just kind of, so you can see how this works, think of what you were thinking about before that. A lot of times when I start feeling depressed or sad, the thoughts that I was thinking on before that feeling came was like, nobody cares about me, or where's God, or just different things like that. And I realized that, okay, our feelings come from the thoughts that we think. And I've heard this all over, but I never really, until recently, realized how true that was in my own life. And then, so for today, I just wanted to give you guys a few ideas of how you can analyze the thoughts that you're dwelling on. And I really would encourage you to go to God and ask Him what specific way would be best for you, even if it's not on this list. I just wanted to share a few things because I've actually done each one of these, so it's not like only one will work for you or something else won't work. These are just different things that I have done over the years that have helped me just figure out where my thoughts are and figure out what I'm thinking of. So I will have the list on the blog post for this week if you want to go to that and you don't have to write them all down. But the first one is get a blank sheet of paper and write down everything that is on your heart and mind right now. So, for some people, that can be very overwhelming, and I completely understand that. And so, the next one is to just draw a piece or draw a heart on a blank piece of paper and jot down or draw what you think your heart looks like right now. And then kind of feed off of that and let your mind just go from there. And then maybe you can make a list of everything that happened today, how it made you feel. So, like, say this person got angry at you and then you reacted in a certain way. Write that down. And if you want a lighter version, which I've had to do this quite frequently and it's actually unconscious, I never actually until recently realized that I had done it. But making a list of all these different things was just way too overwhelming for me. So, I just simply asked God, can you just pick one thing and work on it with me? Like, can you just bring one thing to mind, I'll bring it to you and repent or ask for healing from it or just whatever. So if like these other ideas are way too overwhelming for you, just ask God for one thing, to bring one thing to mind and bring one thought to mind that you need to take to Christ or whatever. You can also make a list of all the negativity that you dwell on every day. So, like any fear or worry or negative thoughts, which most of the time are lies, and any like the way people treat you, how that makes you, what that makes you think about yourself. Or I have actually done this at least twice that I know of. Just write out a thought, or not a thought, sorry, write out a letter to your best friend and share everything with them. And then instead of sending it to them, readdress it to God as a prayer. This has, like, I didn't realize how my conversation or my prayer with God was totally different than the way that I would talk to, like, my best friend or talk to somebody that I trusted about the way I was feeling or whatever. And so, this is something I would definitely recommend if it's hard for you to pray, is to just write out a letter to your best friend, share everything with them, everything that frustrates you with them, ask them to pray for you, ask them for advice, and then just turn around instead of sending it. Do not send it because there's probably things on there that should not be shared with them. And then address it to God and kind of use it as a prayer to Him. So I guess just changing your perspective. And then the last one is to write down all the desires in every area of your life that you can think of right now. So even if it's fitness, even if it's just a certain habit that you wish would go away, or just some desires in relationships or friendships that you wish would change, or just pour out all of your desires on a sheet of paper. And this actually says a lot about a person because you can then look at that list and realize where their heart is and how much they really want to serve Christ or how much of a worldly mindset they really have. So even if your desires are worldly, I still encourage you to, if you do this one, to write down all of your desires because in the very beginning, my desires were all business and I wanted to get married. I wanted to have this horse business. I wanted to train horses. I wanted to have this big barn, and I wanted to be known for a horse that I had, for being an awesome trainer, and just all of these different things. And now that I think back to that, it's just like, okay, that's where my heart was at that point. And then it kind of, if I would have thought about it, I would have been like, okay, where do I really want to be? What do I really, really want? So we'll talk about that a little bit, I believe, next week or the week after that, just this last step of your desires, because I think there is some huge potential in taking our desires to God that can really change a person. So that is all for this week. I am going to make sure and put the link to the blog post down below so that way you can get the list of different ideas. And then I also have an idea of how to write down and analyze your thoughts as well on there. So I love you guys. I will see you next week. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Be Still and Run. I have a few freebies that I have been posting on the blog. I do not have a freebie page yet, but I will be working on that as soon as I catch up on the content for this month. I barely got in my graphics on time because I sent them in late to my graphic designer. So I've just been really trying to catch up on different things. But as soon as I do, I will be working on the 12-9 challenge that I have mentioned, and I will also be working on that freebie page so that you can go directly to that. And I wanted to, though, if you haven't checked out the Simplicity of Christianity one, which is living the life that God created you to live from the perspective of a runner. It is based off of one of my favorite training blocks that I have had so far. Actually, it may be my most favorite training block. I had a coach for the first time, I had a running buddy for the first time, and it was one of the best 6 months of running I have ever had. It was so much fun. I learned so much about the Christian life during that. God kept encouraging me to take notes through that. I had no idea I was going to write a little booklet off of that, but I am very glad that I did take the notes because I had a lot of fun then putting them together into a booklet, which is now a PDF. So if you haven't gone to check that out, it is on the website, or you can go to bestillandrun.com/simple. And I will have that link down below. But did want to mention that the 12-9 challenge should be coming out, I'm gonna say this week, depending on if everything worked out good and all of that. But the freebie webpage will be hopefully coming out next month. So that is my goal. But thank you guys very much for tuning in, and I will see you next time.